his first letter, chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And throughout the Old Testament, God as light is an image that appears again and again. Psalm 104 speaks of God wrapping himself in light like a garment. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, 22 even, David sings of God saying, out of the brightness of his presence, lightning blazed forth. And many visitations of God to his people come with them, blinding, awesome light displays. This happens in the New Testament too. Jesus appears to Saul on the road to Damascus in a blinding light. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appear alongside Jesus, even Jesus' clothes become as white as light. And as we've heard today, Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. God is light and surrounds himself with light, and such light signifies holiness, pureness, and goodness. Second, light brings life, both literally and figuratively. Literally, because at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, the first thing God says is, let there be light. Light's the first thing he creates, and it's the precursor to all life that follows. Figuratively, because walking in God's light, or being led by his light, is often equated with life, and not just any life, a happy and fulfilling one. In Psalm 56, David writes, for you have delivered me from death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And in John chapter 8, when Jesus calls himself the light of the world, he says that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Living close to God is often described as walking in his light. Another image of light we see woven through Scripture, particularly the New Testament, is how light exposes sin. In John's Gospel, Jesus says that everyone who does evil hates the light, and they won't come into it, because if they do, their deeds will be exposed. Conversely, those who live in the truth walk in the light, because they have nothing to hide. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus will bring light to what is hidden and in darkness, and will expose the motives of the heart. And in Ephesians, Paul writes about living as children of light and exposing the deeds of darkness. A common theme in the Old Testament is that those who follow God live in light, and those who don't follow God live in darkness. And here we see that metaphor expanded upon, that those who live in darkness and don't follow God do so in order to hide their evil deeds, which would be exposed by the light of Christ. And fourth, the final image about life that we're going to look at for now is that God's salvation and his gospel are described as light. The reading we hear every Christmas, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That light being Jesus' good news. David again writes in Psalm 22, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Again in Isaiah, God says, when speaking of Jesus, his chosen one, he says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. This point and the previous point are what I want to focus on today. That the light we're talking about is the light of the gospel, the light of God's salvation, which shines out of the Bible and out of Jesus. To some people, this light will illuminate the things they would stay hidden. It will show them their inner hearts, and they'll hate the light because of it. But to some, the light will bring the knowledge of the glory of God. They will be saved and grow to love the light more and more. So when Jesus talks about us being light, there's an awful lot more to it than we'd first think. Before I look at what it means when Jesus says in our passage today, you are the light of the world, I want to look at what he means in John chapter 8 when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Because understanding how being light applies to Jesus will help us figure out how it applies to us who are in him. We've already said that light brings life. That was our first point, looking at the first creation narrative in Genesis at the beginning of the Bible. But when we read the beginning of John's Gospel, he has a different take on the creation narrative. And instead we read about the Word, meaning Jesus. He writes, the Word was with God in the beginning, and that through him all things were made. So Jesus is the light of the world, brings life to the world. Everything was made through him, literally. And John goes even further, saying, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. We have life through his light. But Jesus is also the Messiah, meaning he's the bringer of the gospel, the author and perfecter of our faith, as St. Paul puts it. He came to the earth when it was still in spiritual darkness and brought the light of salvation. Jesus did a lot during his 3 years of ministry. He healed many, many people. He taught on the kingdom of God. He made close friends and built up the leadership of his new church. He showed the hypocritical religious leaders what God really required of them. And he loved the least, the last, and the lost in society. But all of this pales in comparison to his final act of love, his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus willingly allowed himself to be captured and crucified. He wasn't powerless. He said to Peter when he was arrested, "Shall I not drink this cup that the Father has given me?" And to Pontius Pilate, he says, "You would have no power over me if it wasn't given you from heaven." Each time he's saying, "This is my Father's will, and I trust him." Jesus chose the cross. He chose to be crucified for us through his love. Because only that way could he bring the light of the gospel, the light of salvation to us. When he was on the cross, he took all the pain and the wrongdoing of all mankind upon himself, all our sin, and he bore the punishment for it. In fact, around the time he died, the Gospels say that the sky turned to darkness because he took our darkness on himself. He chose to bear the weight of our darkness by dying in our place so that we can walk in his light, the light of righteousness and salvation. But that wasn't the end, because John writes, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. 3 days later, Jesus rose again. He is the light of the world, the one and only capital L light of the world, and he cannot be snuffed out by the darkness. Instead, God raised him up to life again. Light always overcomes darkness, because even the tiniest light is enough to drive back the dark. And his resurrection from the dead leads the way for our own eternal life, both here and in heaven. Through him, if we just believe in his sacrifice for us and we choose to walk in his light and follow his way. Jesus is the light of the world, and there is no other light apart from him. Jesus doesn't say, "I am a light to the world, one of many." He says, "I am the light of the world. In him is the only light, the only salvation." It's either Jesus or darkness. There isn't a third alternative. There's no other light. But Jesus' light is readily available to anyone. He doesn't hide it from us. In January, some of you know that Kath and I acquired an overweight cat who has since sat in on every church meeting that we've had in our home. After it's got dark and everyone's gone, and he needs a bit of exercise, he loves to chase around a little red light from a cat laser pointer. He'll follow the little red light onto the table, up the stairs, up the wall. But he'll never quite catch it. It slips out of his paws, and he has to wait until the next time we get the light out again. If you're chasing around that elusive light of life, like our cat, that others have, but you've never quite caught, and you feel like you need the light of Jesus to guide you out of your own personal darkness, then please share that with us today, with one of the prayer team, or one of the welcome team who met you on the door this morning, or just somebody else here who you trust. We'd love to help you to find out more and to pray for you. Jesus is the light of the world, and he promises that whoever believes in him won't ever walk in darkness again, but will have the light of life. That means you will have Jesus. He will be in you, and you will be in him. And now we get around to our reading for today, where Jesus is calling us the light of the world. Let me remind you of it. You are a light. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus is the light of the world, which means that we know that our light is in fact his light. It's the light of Jesus in us. When we believe in Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, who shines in us with the light of Christ. What's interesting is Jesus doesn't say, you can be the light of the world, or you need to work at being the light of the world, or even sometimes you'll be the light of the world. For those of us who believe in Jesus, this is a fact that we're just going to have to face. We are the light of the world all the time, whether we like it or not. If there's one thing I want you to take away from today, and this is the bit that's worth waking up for if you've fallen asleep already, through faith in Christ, you already are the light of the world. You don't need to work at it. You don't need to strive to be more light-like. This is definitely not a you've got to do better sermon. Jesus tells us that it's a simple yet miraculous biblical truth that through him you are and already have become the light of the world. Jesus says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. The Message translates part of this passage as, now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. By choosing to become Jesus' disciples, we become nothing less than the light of the world. And this light we cannot and should not hide. We have been chosen by Jesus to be his light in this dark world. The picture he paints in his mini parable of light about putting a lamp under a bowl is deliberately absurd. No one would ever light a candle just to hide it. And neither did Jesus put his light in us for us to keep it to ourselves. We are to give light to everyone in the house. We need to shine this light wherever we go. Practically, that means not being like others because we want to fit in. Maybe for the sake of popularity or promotion. It means not hiding who we are in Jesus because of embarrassment or because we fear we might be challenged. We are Jesus' messengers of light, carriers of the great news of his gospel, and we shouldn't hide that from people who don't know Jesus' light for themselves yet. But how does it work that we are his light in the world? Well, I think of it something like this. If you've known someone for a long time, and you're really close to them, you naturally end up changing because of that relationship. You might become more like them in how you act or speak, or you might become such a person that you complement each other, maybe in how you work together, or how you talk to each other, or how you don't need to talk at all. I'll let you into a secret about two of our church staff. When Kath and Dan go for a cooked breakfast at Latitude, which happens more often than you might think, they always do the same thing, and it's a bit weird. Once the food's arrived, Kath will push her plate towards Dan, then he'll take her eggs away, and then she'll take his black pudding. And they'll do it without saying a word to each other. They don't need to. They're used to working together. They didn't used to swap breakfast. In years gone by, they might have even bought different meals. But now it's second nature to them. Kath knows what kind of eggs to order for Dan when she's putting her order in. And Dan knows to take away anything the eggs have touched, which means he sometimes gets a bit more beans. If we find ourselves changing through our relationships with other humans, how much more will we change when we are in a personal relationship with the maker of the universe, God Almighty himself? When we know God, and as we get to know him more, we change into who he wants us to be. We become the best, most refined version of us we can possibly be. Many people have a radical change of personality when they encounter Jesus for the first time. As Paul writes, the old has gone, the new has come. As the Holy Spirit powerfully transforms us, bringing us out of our own darkness and hurt and anger and grief, and into God's light and love and grace. And in doing this, God shines through us. We bring light to others, and they see Jesus in us because of our relationship with him. By faith, we become light to them as he is light to us. Because of this, the remarkable teaching that Jesus puts forward today is about far more than just making a determined and consistent effort to follow his example. Like I said, you don't have to work at being more lighty because we already shine with his light. Jesus says we should shine so that people may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. But faith isn't about doing good deeds. Instead, true faith is always accompanied by good deeds. If there aren't any deeds to demonstrate faith, then it isn't real faith at all. Instead, our good deeds Jesus is talking about come out of our faith and our love of God. Rob Warner writes in his book about the Sermon on the Mount, to have Christ in us and to be in Christ mean that his life is dynamically present within us and begins to be seen in our lives and work. He says that rather than working harder to be light, more profoundly we need to discover within ourselves new inward resources in union with Christ. That is, for our deeds to be seen and cause others to look to God, as Jesus says, we need to not try and do more, but instead dive deeper into our relationship with Jesus. As we become less of our own selfish, sinful selves and more like Jesus, his light will shine through us stronger and stronger. Now, before I finish, one important thing I want to touch on is telling people about Jesus. So far, I've talked about Jesus' light shining through us, that is, people seeing him in us, maybe seeing the change that he's made to our lives since we've known him. And this is witnessing to people with our actions and our lifestyle. But if this is all there is, then people might think that we're the wonderful light, rather than thinking that God is the light. Showing people's God's love and telling people of his love go hand in hand. And the testimony with the most integrity is when we're telling about Jesus, when the people we're telling about Jesus can already see him in us. Again, Rob Warner writes that our lifestyle needs to demonstrate the light that exposes sin and enlivens with vitality and purity. But our words must explain the meaning of that light, the enlightenment that we've received by the revelation of Christ. In our postmodern culture, many people have no idea who Jesus is or what he's done for them. There is no deeply hidden knowledge of God or of his Son which we can rely on, which there might have been even a few decades ago. We just can't assume that if people know we're Christians and they can see Christ shining through us, then they know the rest of the story and they can piece it together themselves. Instead, it's our responsibility to tell them about Jesus, to tell them that he is the light of the world and that he is the light that they can see shining through us. Jesus, the light of the world, exposes sin and has given us the light of his salvation. He is living in us and shines from us, not because of anything we've done, but simply because we love him and we choose to follow him. It's not about us, it's all about him. This Jesus light in us gives light to everyone we come into contact with, so long as we don't hide it. In our own individual ways, we can tell people about who this light is and what he's done. And we can pray that other people have their eyes open to God's light. Now, may you bring the light of life, the light of Jesus, to everyone you meet, because you are the light of the world. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, I thank you that simply through faith in you and your Son, we have become the light to this world, your light to this world. Lord, I pray that we would just remember that as we go home from today, that we would realize the amazing chance you've given us to be your light to the people we meet and our day-to-day lives. Help us deepen our relationship with you and with Jesus, that he would shine through us stronger and stronger, that more and more people would see his love and his salvation through us. In Jesus' name, I pray.